It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Welcome to Mostly Motorsports, everyone. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Kirk Elliott is sitting with us in the studio today, as he does each and every Friday. It is Phone Friday for all the people that are out there today. Got a lot to talk about last night's race. Jonathan Davenport picks up the $1 million at Eldora last night. We'll talk about that and more today on the show. And we'll get deep into that. Jacob Denny picked up the USAC National Midget Race at Lincoln Park last night as well, after Coons led nearly the entire race, but loses it right there at the end. So we'll talk about that and whatever else you would like to talk about today on the phone. The phone number is 816-833-8553. Let's step in and talk to Austin first. Austin, what did you think of that race last night? It was pretty dominant. Jonathan Davenport had up to a 6-second lead at one point during that race. But Tim McCready made it interesting during those last 30 laps, though, didn't he? There's the button. There you go, buddy.
It didn't want to work today. I don't know why. I guess it's ready for the weekend.
That's all right. It's okay.
No, when you put Davenport on the pole like that, or at least on the front row, it's going to be tough to beat
tough
him.
Tough assignment.
He fired off really good, and his car was really balanced. There was a picture of his rear tires after the race that Hoosiers, or the dirt car, was getting ready to do a sample of them, and they looked like they could have ran another 100 laps. They were really clean and not really abused that much, and it just shows how balanced his car was and how fast it was.
Hold on a sec. You saw the tire after the race?
Yeah.
And it looked pretty much intact? Because we saw a few tires blow out, but Tim McCready blew one out, right?
He did. Let me get the picture pulled up.
All right. Let's see if we can find a picture of the tire here. Austin always does a great job. That's it right there, huh? That's after the race.
Yeah, after 101 laps. I mean, it looks...
That's impressive.
I mean, you could have ran at least 50 more on them.
I'm shocked by that, to be honest with you. I figured the tread would be ripped completely off of that thing, didn't you?
Oh, I figured they wouldn't. I was watching with a couple of buddies last night, and our kind of idea of what the race would play out to be like is whoever blew the tire first and came in and got a new right rear was going to win the race, because it would just one after another would come on after that, and the first one was Jimmy Owens, and that was what, 18 to go. And we knew that theory wasn't going to work when Davenport was already left up to the top 8 at that point, or top 5. So, it just shows how balanced his car was. And McCready had a shot there, after that yellow. But I think with him starting so far back, it wasn't far back, but he was a couple rows behind Davenport in the front row. I think he started 7th or so. And, he used some of his stuff up to get to him. And then he maintained for the mid part of the race. And then when he kind of started running down JD again, he was kind of, using his equipment up. And I think he just might have burned his tires up too soon. And either he ran something over or the tire just fell apart. And that's why he had one go down. And it showed, I can't remember which restart it was. It was like the second or third restart they had. He just didn't fire off. Right. And it's just, he had the speed and he hit the bottom just right. But it didn't take off like it has been. And, once we saw that, that was JD's race at that point.
So you were telling me that you saw in the drone shot where there was a little piece of concrete right there where they go off the racetrack, right? You said there was a little patch of concrete right there that they were hitting?
Yeah, so when they were doing the front stretch shot going down into one, and when McCready was running up on the bottom, you can kind of see his car get into a rut getting into one, and I'm like, man, there's no way with it being that smooth down there that he's getting into something that rough. I mean, the rough stuff's, two lanes off the wall. So the drone, caught the cars going into one when he was side-by-side with Davenport. And either the way, Eldora normally isn't like this, but there was probably, a 6-foot-wide patch of concrete exposed to the bottom lane of the racetrack, and the cars were or at least McCready was one of the ones driving over as he was getting into one, and I don't know how much, you know, that affected his tire wear or if that affected the way he was getting in the corner, but you can definitely see it upset the attitude of the car and, you know, kind of, you know, loses entry a little bit. But like I said, you normally don't see that there. They usually have that, you know, covered up unless it was just, you know, eroded away from the rain or something that they changed when they brought the excavators in and pulled the new old dirt off.
Do you think that could have played into was it McCready's left rear, wasn't it, that went flat? Could he?
It was his right rear because if you
it was back, his right rear.
Yeah, if you go back and watch his hot pit camera shot, the guy sat there and struggled to get the tire on the right rear for probably 30 seconds.
All right. And, okay,
made him not look very good. But
you know, I've got to say though, if it wasn't for Tim McCready getting up there, and listen, Chris Madden as well. To be honest with you, Chris Madden looked like. I'll say this, when Chris Madden put that slider on that restart, you know, when they had the restart and he got out in front of Davenport and he slid up coming off of turn two, he didn't take it to the fence, right? He left Davenport a little bit of room up there. If I'm racing for $1 million, I'm going to the wall and Jonathan Davenport's going to have to run into the back of me.
Well, I mean, you can do that, but, you know, if you're going
to... $1 million.
Well, you got to look at it a different way, too. If you're getting slid, you're going to be... If you're running the top and you know the bottom's good, and if you know on a restart that he can... Usually the guy in second or third can get off really well. So
yeah,
you're already going to be looking over your left, over your shoulder to see if anything's coming. And the moment you see a car break his momentum across the track, you got to peel either commit to the top and get a good run or peel off the top and drive across the track and... I can't exactly remember what Davenport did, but
he went around him on the outside. He got up next to him.
he just had to commit to it, and you know, at that point, you know, when Madden slid him, you know, you had two options: you can take it to the wall, or you can take it to the middle where all that rough kind of moisture was, and hope you can just slide up enough to catch it and get a good drive off and still break his momentum. And then at that point, you got to block into three.
Well, just let me tell you, I wouldn't have handled it like that at all. I would have taken it to the fence, and Davenport would have had to run into me. And for $1 million, I'm going to do whatever I have to do. If I've got they even said it on the broadcast that they give him he give him enough room to make that run on him on the outside. But I'm not going to give him that room. He was up in front of him far enough to where he could have cleared and came up in front of him, but he chose not to. He chose to race him clean. And Jonathan Davenport said at one point in the post-race interview that him and Chris Madden had a run-in a time or two back in the day. So, and he said, I think that's all behind us now, and that I think we're in a better place right now. So those two have had some issues in the past. I don't know what it is. Maybe somebody else can tell me that. But if it's me and it's $1 million, I don't care. Listen, I know second place pays $100,000, but it's the million that I'm after. And I'm not going to worry about that $100,000. I'm going to worry about winning that $1 million. And if I've got to race dirty or treat somebody dirty out on the racetrack, I'm going to do it. You're down to the final few laps of that race. It's time to race for the million and do whatever you have to do to win that race.
What if he thought he'd race them dirty? What if Madden, you know, put that slide job on him into three, or not three, into one, and thought that's what he had to do to win. Maybe, you know, what do you think about that?
Say that again?
Well, you're kind of making it sound like he didn't give it, you know, his 100% effort to win that race. Well, I mean,
I don't think he did. If you want to know the truth, I don't think that Chris Madden gave 100% to win that race when he did that slide down there in turn one and two. He had enough room to pull up in front of him. Granted, Davenport might have had to get on the brakes to keep from hitting him or do a cutback and go down underneath of him and try to slide him in the next corner. But for me personally, I think that Chris Madden kind of gave that one away, if you want to know the truth. That's just my opinion. What do you think, Kurt?
Well, I think there is a difference between sprint car racing and late model racing when it comes to the etiquette of doing slide jobs. That's what I think.
Kirk, $1 million.
I'm with you. I'm not arguing with you. I am with you 100% on this.
You race them as dirty as you have to race them to win that $1 million.
I am surprised that Chris Madden didn't do what you described he should have done. I am very surprised about that because it is $1 million on the line. Now, under ordinary circumstances, would he do that? Probably not, but this is $1 million.
Yeah. It's the only it's the second highest paying race in the world. What'd they say? Indianapolis was the highest.
I would say the country, not the world.
That's what they said on the broadcast last night.
What do they pay Formula One race winners?
I don't know.
I wouldn't probably.
You think Formula One would be?
I think it's a little more than that.
Yeah. All right. Well, I would probably guess that you're correct on that because you guys are more about Formula One than I am. But let me just say that they said in the United States, even if it's the second biggest, highest paying race in the United States, that's big, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you're earning $10,000, about $10,000 a lap.
Right. That's nuts, isn't it?
That's.
Can you even get your head around that one, Austin? $10,000 a lap. Can you think about that for a second? Would that make you a little bit nervous out there racing for that kind of money?
I just think it makes you more aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
Under normal circumstances, you throw all that out the window at the end of this race. When you're talking about winning $1 million versus $100,000 for second, which is not chump change. That's a pretty good payday itself, but that's a lot different. $100,000 is a lot different than $1 million.
I'm just going to say, I wouldn't even think about, what did it pay to start that race, $10,000?
$5,000, $22 to start the race.
I thought it was $10,000. You sure about that,
yeah.
Kurt?
I looked at, we went through the payout here last week on Track Talk.
Austin said Madden should have taken him to the fence. And I agree with
you,
Austin. I totally agree
Absolutely.
With you.
Should have taken him to the fence. And I'm surprised he didn't do that.
Right. Chris Yance, my good friend up the street from us here, he's watching the show. He said, slide him, block him, nudge him. I'm getting that million. And I'm the same way. I don't care how dirty I got to race. Listen, I was kind of a dirty driver anyway, so it wouldn't matter to me at all.
That was your style anyway.
I could care less, man. I'd race the guy as dirty as possible to win that. $5,022 to start last night. Thank you, Tammy. We appreciate that.
Right.
And also, too, I mean, you get down to the last, 20 laps of that race, there's only five cars left on the lead lap. So,
That crazy?
Well, I mean, look at T-Mac. T-Mac goes from running second to fifth with a new right rear tire. And, I mean, you can take a shot at him. Let's say you crash him or crash yourself. You're only going to go back to fifth if you can still continue or you're up to, the discrepancy of your officials on if you get the notorious black flag or not, but I mean that's not really point.
Was anybody a little surprised about the lack of performance from Chris Ferguson?
Well, I thought he did a great job.
He ran fifth.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
No. I thought the two fastest cars of the night, and Austin, I think you would agree with me on this. I thought it was Jonathan Davenport or Chris Ferguson, didn't you? Did you agree with that?
I wouldn't say Ferguson would be
the
fastest.
I thought Brandon Shepherd had the fastest car at one time.
I think it's Brandon Shepherd. Just because, I mean, yes, he was in the B main, but dude, he got his lap back. I mean, he drove by the winner of that race a couple times to get his lap back, and then he unfortunately fell.
He hung right on the bumper of JD the whole time.
And if Shepherd would have been able to hang on to the lead lap, he would have been a player at the end of that race. But he wasn't able to stay on the lead lap.
To be honest with you, he did get his lap back, but then he lost it again, right?
Yeah, well, if the yellow
came out. He ended up running ninth.
Yeah, if the yellow would have came out a couple laps before, he would have had his lap back.
How good are you if you run ninth?
He drove by the leader after he started, and after he came through the B main.
I understand. You know what? He got up on the wheel.
When
Jonathan Davenport went around him, he got up on the wheel and started racing him. And he changed his line up a little bit. Let me tell you something about one thing about Brandon Shepherd that really impresses me. That guy can rip the lip as good as anybody. Would you agree with that, Austin? That guy, he was relentless at ripping the top of the racetrack.
Hey, Shepard?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Relentless.
You got to commit to something.
Did you notice when he come up off of the corner, he get up in that little dirt and shoot that big old rooster tail up every time, it seemed like.
The other driver.
I'm going to say this about Brandon Shepard. I think he might have the best car control. Maybe Devin Moran might be one of the guys that run the top as well as anybody.
I think you have to add in Davenport on that, too. I mean, that car, he caught the hole once in turn one and just scuffed the wall. But if you look at that car, there was not a scratch on it after it. And it was, I mean, look at the tires. I mean, I'll pull the picture up again.
Yeah, he was pounding the top pretty good.
There is not one reason or one evidence showing that that tire was slid in the wrong way the entire race. I mean, just look at it.
Yeah, no, that's a hell. I'm blown away that tire's got that much tread on it. I just can't believe it, to be honest with you. But what did you think at the end of that race when Devin Moran was up there and they did those restarts, did you think he was going to be a player? Did anybody think that he was going to be in on that at the end of the race?
That was the driver other driver was going to bring up, and you brought him up just now. Devin Moran was the other driver that I thought had a shot at that besides Tim McCready and Chris Madden. And Moran really ran a smart race the whole way.
Well, you know he wanted to win that race.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
His dad won it 21 years ago.
Right. So. But was anybody caught off guard by the pace at the start of that race? You know, I kept thinking, and looking at the tire now, I can't even imagine that tire being in that good a shape.
I mean, I was shocked. We went 83 laps before we saw our first yellow flag.
But at one point, I thought Jonathan Davenport was pushing too hard. Did you think he was pushing too hard at one point, Austin?
No, I think he was just maximizing his car and what he had. Because, I mean, when you're in those long races, you know,
he was 6 seconds ahead of everybody.
I mean, if it's working that good and you're not abusing it, run it. I mean, it's going to last. And, you know, if you can keep your tires under you for that long. And, I mean, look at what it did when he lapped up to fifth. I mean, look at all the good cars that he lapped. And so
a bunch of good cars.
It took the chances of those guys competing with him, you know, later in the race. It took the chances away. I mean, now you got Ferguson, Moran, Madden, and T-Mac, and your other competitors. And, you know, their pace isn't as good as yours. I mean, it's just... I mean, if I was him, I'd lead as much as I can, as far as I can, for as long as I can.
Dan Davenport changed his line after McCready ran him down. As you pointed out, Davenport had a 6-second lead, and then McCready kept chasing him down. And then through lap traffic, I thought Davenport did a masterful job when he changed his line, then he started stretching back out.
Well, I'm going to totally disagree with you on that one.
Hold on, let me add something to that, too. I mean... When you're the leader and you know your car's working that good, I mean, when you get out to that big of a lead and the guys behind you see you're getting away and they start getting desperate that they're going to lose you, they'll start overdriving it and using their equipment up, you know, sooner than they should be. So, I mean, yeah, your stuff's working just fine and you're just motoring out there at half pace, just cruising, driving away from them. They're back there, you know, just killing their equipment. And, I mean, that might have been a reason why T-Mac, you know, lost his right rear. But, I mean, that's just another reason, you know, I think he set that pace as fast as he did.
Well, I where I'm going to disagree with Kirk on this is that when Jonathan Davenport went to the bottom, he couldn't roll the bottom as good as Tim McCready. Would you agree with me on that? He would slide up just a little bit off of the bottom. He couldn't pin it down on the wall. Like Tim McCready was doing. Would anybody disagree with me?
Well, I think I would agree with that.
Yeah.
For sure.
He couldn't get it to twist in the middle of the corner.
Yeah.
Right? It wouldn't stay down on the wall like Tim McCready did.
But I know he couldn't get that to work, but I mean look how wide and slick that thing got. I mean look at the race. They ran the top for a while, they ran the middle for a while, they ran the bottom for a while, and they started searching around for a while. So I mean a lot of the parts of the track were still good and they were ever fast and changing. And you know, I think McCready was one of the very few ones to make it work that low down there. And once he burnt off what was down there, I mean that was it. You know, I don't think anybody else could have made it work. And I mean, look at McCready. He tried it for so many laps after the restarts, and it never worked for him.
And Madden said at the end of the race that he didn't really want to see that late yellow flag, that hurt him, that he thought he had a better shot at him without that late yellow.
Cole, he says, wrong. The very topic is what's wrong with all of the spoiled NASCAR, I think it means douchebags, what he's saying there. Respect to Madden for, I think he meant to say racing clean. You know what?
But it's for $1 million.
It's $1 million.
Throw all the other rules out the window. This is for $1 million.
How many times did the announcers say that they would wreck their own brother or their own best friend to win $1 million?
They all said it.
Austin, if there was $1 million on the line, would you throw a nasty slider on somebody to win it?
Yeah.
Yeah, $1 million, right?
I just want to win. Right. I mean, I'll do it on a weekly night.
I don't think you're. Right? I don't think you're being honest with yourself if you deny that.
I don't think you are either. Mad said he was surprised by the drive that JD got off of turn two after that slide. That's what Cole said here. Yeah. So, you know, I still think there was enough room for him to get up there in front of him, though. I still do.
Davenport has been masterful at this racetrack. Look at the record that he has had at Eldora Speedway. He's won 4 of the last 7 World 100s.
Yep.
He won the 2015 Dream, and he also won the race during the pandemic year, the Intercontinental. Just his record at this racetrack, he has just been masterful. I was a little bit surprised. I didn't really know all of Jonathan Davenport's background, but he talked about how he was going to be a pavement racer back in the day. That's really what they were focused on.
Yeah.
That he never imagined that he would be where he is today.
Yeah. He said when his dad ran out of money and couldn't keep him going, he decided that they were going to go dirt racing.
But he is a talented race car driver.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no getting around it. Jonathan Davenport would be good. If he had made it to NASCAR or whatever, I think he would be as good as anybody up there. I think the guy is a great driving talent.
What was the biggest surprise of that race for you? Maybe the biggest surprise for me is that they lapped up to fifth place.
Yeah. The biggest surprise to me was Brandon Overton not qualifying for the show.
Well, there's that, too.
That's the biggest shocker for me.
I don't want to say biggest surprise or biggest heartbreak, but Bloomer losing the drive shaft after driving from, was it 14th or 18th to 4th?
Yeah, that cost him.
In a couple laps in a heat race, and I mean, that's who had some real car speed right there.
John Helm, John, appreciate you tuning in. He said Madden stayed low to block the crossover. Maybe that's the case. I don't know. I know one thing, that I would have taken it to the fence, though. And if the crossover happens, it happens. Then I just go down there and try to slide him in the next corner if that happens.
Yeah, I would agree
with
that. Well,
if he crosses you over, you're going to be hung up there in the slick and the dust. I mean, it had a little bit of a cushion, but nothing like you could really get off of. You would have been stood up there like a drag car on the back streets just going nowhere.
Yeah. But for $1 million, you're going to be taking chances you wouldn't ordinarily take.
Right.
Right.
You know, that's the bottom line.
Chris, my buddy up the street, goes, $1 million would last one of those teams a couple of years at least.
Well, Jonathan Davenport said after the race, this is not really going to sink in until the money is in the bank account. But he said, this is a life-changing event.
Well, yeah, it is.
And it is.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Austin, we better take a break and pay some bills here. You're watching Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. We will come back. We'll discuss more about what happened at last night's Eldora Million. And we'd like for you to call in and voice your opinion as well. The phone number is 816-833-8553, 816-833-8553. We'll be back with more Mostly Motorsports in a moment. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It's Phone Friday, folks. Phone lines are open. Give us a call. We'd love to hear your opinion. Give us a call right now. 816-833-8553. 816-833-8553. You know, this brings up, we were just talking a little bit off the air. What do we got to do to get a $1 million sprint car race? What do we have to do? What they need to find the money, first of all. If Tony Stewart can find the money for the late models to race for a million, wouldn't he be the guy to find $1 million to run sprint cars? Let's hear some opinions.
Well, I mean, Austin? If you look at it.
There it is.
The microphone's killing me today.
I know. You're struggling over there with that mic. It's beating you up.
So, if you look at it, the Knoxville Nationals pays, what, $175,000 to win?
Is it 175? It was 150.
No, I think it's 150. Then if 150. You lead every lap, it's 100. It's 200,000.
Okay.
I mean, if you look at it, if you keep the same pay structure from first through 24th of the Nationals and just bump it down by one, so second place gets the winning amount in previous years, and just add $900,000 to the top prize. I mean, all you got to do is pull up an extra $900,000, and boom, there's your million-dollar payout.
That's all, just an extra $900,000. It's just chump change. Just pull that out of my pocket real quick.
Why not the historical big one that they're going to revive at Eldora, the race that was held from 93 to 2003? And at that time, it paid more than the Kings Royal. They put $100,000 on that race when they held it back in the late 90s and early 2000s. That was a bigger paying race than the Kings Royal. Why not the historical big one pay $1 million? Why just the late? And I love late models as much as sprint cars. I'm both. I love both of them. But why are the late model guys the only guys getting all these big paydays? Why don't the sprint car guys get it as well? They draw big fans to their events as well. Why are the late models the only guys that are getting all these $50,000, $100,000 paydays all the time, and we don't see it as much in sprint car racing?
You might not like my answer. And our fans might, the listeners might not like my answer. But is late model racing more popular than sprint car racing right now? Yes or no? Opinions.
I don't. It depends on what your tastes are.
Are any sprint late model races being televised on CBS right now, or TV? Besides, like MAV TV.
MAV TV does quite a few late model.
Well, besides them, like on a national, channel like a CBS or any other.
Yeah.
Are late model racing getting shown on there?
Cole says yes.
Yes.
Late models are more popular.
I don't know. I mean, you go to World of Outlaws events, they draw big crowds, too.
Tammy, one of our great listeners that tunes in every day, we appreciate you so much, Tammy. She said, I'm a huge sprint car fan, but I don't think we see a million-dollar race anytime soon. Probably only Knoxville or Eldora could hold such an event.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Those are the only two places, really, right?
I mean, I would just make it the Knoxville Nationals. It's the most, it's the biggest sprint car race of the year. Most, historic one, the one everybody wants to win.
But the Knoxville just Nationals is not about the money. It's about the prestige and the trophy. But putting $1 million to win on the Knoxville Nationals is not going to make the Knoxville Nationals any more prestigious than it already is.
It could if it paid $1 million.
Man, I don't know what I would do if I'd walk home with the Knoxville Nationals championship in my back pocket and $1 million in the other one. I don't know what I would do the next morning.
Listen.
Yeah, but you would be as thrilled winning the Knoxville Nationals if it paid what it does today.
It'd be even sweeter if I had $1 million with me.
I'm totally not in the same boat as Kirk today for whatever reason. I also say that Knoxville or Eldora would be the two places to do it, right?
Yeah.
Sure. But I think it's the mecca for sprint car racing, Iowa is. Knoxville, Iowa, right? That's where it should be. It should pay $1 million to win that race. And, Kirk, I agree with you.
But that's never going to happen.
The prestige of that race is that's one. Yeah. It's kind of like winning the Chili Bowl, right?
Right.
The Chili Bowl doesn't pay enough money to win.
No.
The Knoxville Nationals don't pay enough to win. Now, listen, granted, $150,000, $175,000, that's a lot of money, right? But if it is the number one sprint car race in the world, is the Knoxville Nationals the biggest sprint car race?
Yes.
Of all sprint car races, right? If it's that race, then that race should pay equal to what they paid last night. Now, granted, it's hard to come up with that.
The Marion County Fair Board's never going to approve paying $1 million to win the Knoxville Nationals, and when they'd have to cut the second place pay down to where it would need to be in order to make it work. That's not going to happen.
Kirk, you forget one thing. Just let me just get your head around this a little bit more. Spire Sports and Entertainment is the managing company of Knoxville Raceway. And Spire Sports and Entertainment, and I know those guys well, very well, they are in the business of getting money for that racetrack. That's why Knoxville's so successful. Even though they don't have a big crowd on their weekly show, it's because they generate enough revenue through their marketing partners to justify not having as many fans up there for the weekly crowd. What they need to do, Spire Sports and Entertainment, is to go out and try to find somebody that would be willing to invest that kind of money into the Knoxville Nationals.
All right, I got a theory or an example here, too. So I'm going to pull up the pay for the Knoxville Nationals this year.
There it is, $150,000.
Less than $1 million purse.
Right, just under it. Why can't we just take first place money? Well, actually, just take the whole payout right there from 1 through 24 and move it back one spot. So that would take the first spot paying $10,000 to 17th, make that 18th, and then add, you know, $1 million to the winner. That's pretty close to the same payout as
the adult. But they're never going to do that. The board is still have to approve that, and it's never going to happen.
Kirk, they would approve it if Spire Sports and Entertainment went out and found the money. If they didn't have to pull the money out of their own pocket, and Spire Sports and Entertainment went out and found the money, which that's what they do.
What company is going to put up $1 million extra to double the purse at the Knoxville Nationals?
There's plenty of corporate America out there. Did you know that? Corporate America is all over the United States. Did you know that?
Yes.
And did you know that there's a lot of companies that could afford to do that?
But what company is going to do that?
If not one, why not have five? Have 10. Have 20. I don't care. To figure out how to make it $1 million.
It's never going to happen. You're dreaming, fellas. It's not going to happen.
Kirk.
How many sponsors are on my race car
right
now?
Kirk, you're acting like the members of the board up there would have to come up with money. I'm talking about if Spire come up with the money.
The board would have to approve all of that.
You don't think the board would approve a $1 million race if they didn't have to pull any money out of their pocket? You're crazy. That would be the mecca of all sprint car racing. If they were to pull that money together.
It is now the mecca of sprint car racing. That won't change. They've got the corner on the prestige and all of that now. Putting an extra $1 million to the winner of this,
Tommy Hahn,
it's not going to change that. And I know the fair board up there, it's not going to happen. The only person that could ever pull this off is Tony Stewart at Eldora Speedway. He's the only guy. Eldora is the only place that could happen.
If the fair board up there didn't have to take the money out of their own pocket, Inspire found somebody to pay that kind of money, why wouldn't they approve that, Kurt?
Well, you're talking
No. I want you to give me a detail. No. Give me – that's not a good enough answer. You got to give me a good enough answer to tell me why they wouldn't do that if they didn't have to pull the money out of their pocket. Tell me, you got to give me a great reason why they wouldn't do that.
Because they would want that extra money to be placed in other areas that would benefit the fair board, the grounds, $1 million extra money being pulled in by sponsorship. They'd want more people to benefit from that instead of just the winner of the race.
Well, then the
which
fair
is
board,
already the most prestigious
listen,
sprint car race in the world, and that's not going to change whether they put $1 million to the winner or not.
Kirk, you're out of your mind.
It's not going to happen.
You are completely out of your mind. If somebody come up with the money. Or better yet, Chris says a national TV deal. Get somebody in television to pay you that money for the rights to the broadcast.
But nobody's realistically going to do that to put up $1 million to benefit one person, one team.
You don't know that,
the million dollars would be to benefit more people than just one person.
What do you know about
only one person who runs Eldora Speedway can make decisions like that? Tony Stewart is the only one that could pull that off at Eldora Speedway. That's
how
the
do
only
you know
place
that there's not
happen.
Somebody in corporate America that would do that? A Coca-Cola,
look at all
a
the money
Pepsi,
NOS put up.
NOS Energy,
USAC. Outlaws.
Whatever. There's somebody out there, if they work hard enough, they could find somebody to spend the money. You agree with me, Austin?
I think so.
You could argue with Kirk if you want to. It's just not me.
No, I know.
Kirk and I have been arguing about things for years.
The difference is a fair board versus one guy that owns Eldora Speedway. That's the difference. The only place this could ever happen is
Lloyd
Eldora
Collins,
Speedway.
Lloyd Collins, you are a homer. You always stick up for Kirk. Kirk is right. Scott, you've got to understand, most fair boards are very difficult to work with. I'm not saying they're not difficult to deal with. But if you, the company of Aspire Sports and Entertainment, can go out there and create. Can you imagine what the buzz would be around Knoxville if it paid $1 million?
Well,
could you even imagine how much more attention would that race get if you paid $1 million?
They wouldn't want that. They wouldn't want the purse and the pay to overshadow the prestige of the event. You wouldn't get all the fair board members to approve that. If they would say, and a lot of members of the fair board would say, if you're going to give us $1 million, we want more people to benefit with that money instead of just placing
well,
it on the
well, they spent about $1 million putting LED like light poles up in the infield. So, I mean, they're going to...
Right.
What's that going to do for us?
Right. What's that really going to do?
I mean, look cool, but...
Listen, if I'm Spire Sports and Entertainment, and I find somebody wants to spend $1 million... on a sprint car race at Knoxville for the Knoxville Nationals, and the fair board told me that they didn't want to do it.
No, let me finish.
You always talk over people, Kirk. You always talk over people. If I found $1 million and I went to the fair board and I said, I got $1 million, we're going to pay to win the Knoxville Nationals, and the fair board told me no, if I were Spire Sports and Entertainment, I would drop the contract and leave them and let them take care of themselves. You know, they've been more profitable since Spire Sports and Entertainment has been up there than they've ever been. I'm just telling you. And if they told me no, I would tell them, stick it in your pipe and go smoke it somewhere because I'm done with you. If I found $1 million to do that and they said no, I'd get out of there.
They'd say, thank you for the $1 million. We want to invest that where more people benefit from that $1 million. That's what they would say.
Huh?
And they wouldn't want the money to win the race to overshadow the prestige of the event.
It would just make the prestige greater, Kirk, if it paid $1 million.
I don't think so. I think the Knoxville Nationals is still the biggest trophy that everybody wants
Austin.
To win. And that would not change whether you put $1 million to the winner or keep it where it is now.
Austin, you see what I deal with here. This hard head that I've had to deal with for 22 years I've dealt with right here.
I'm just telling you how members of the fair board would look at this.
I'm telling you.
It's just going to be icing on the cake for the winner. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's like the chili bowl. You go there for the jeweler, right? It doesn't matter how much it pays. But
Tony Stewart can make a decision to do this because he makes the decisions at Eldora Speedway.
You're not going to like this comment here that Tommy just said.
He broke my momentum, Tommy. That's too good.
Kirk is talking like a Democrat. That's what he said.
I'm not a Democrat.
Spread the wealth. Spread the wealth, Tommy Hahn says. I love it, Tommy.
I'm just telling you, realistically, that will never happen at Knoxville.
Well, if I was Spire Sports and Entertainment and I went to them and I said I had $1 million to pay the winner of Knoxville Nationals, they said no, I'd drop my contract and I'd run from Knoxville. Let them.
That would be a deal breaker?
That would be a deal.
Are you kidding?
That would be a deal breaker for me.
The deal is to make money for the fair. That's the deal.
If I found the money and the fair board didn't have to pay a penny of it, I'd walk out on them.
Over that?
Yes.
Well, then they'd say, don't let the door hit you in the butt on the way out.
And you know what? Then they would suffer.
That's what would happen.
Then what would happen, Kirk? Then Knoxville would suffer because they've never been more profitable than they have been with Spire Sports and Entertainment.
Yeah. What year did Spire start at Knoxville?
Oh, about 5-6 years ago, probably, Kirk.
I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, I don't know what year it was. But I'm just saying, if they said no, adios, amigo. I've come up with all this money to make the race even bigger than it ever is, and you're going to say no? Goodbye. Deal with it yourself. Go out and find your own money in corporate America. Get your own people to do it, and good luck with that. And I'm telling you, if you played that card with them, they're going to allow you to do it. Because they've been more profitable since Spire Sports and Entertainment's been up there than they've ever been.
And that would be a deal breaker over that issue.
Deal breaker.
Paying somebody $1 million.
I'd walk.
To win
sure.
the race.
Yeah. All right.
I don't think so.
I think so. That's what I would do. All right. We're going to take our final break of the hour. Today's show is brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. It's Phone Friday. Not one person has called in here today. What in the hell is going on? 816-833-8553. 816-833-8553. We'll be back with more Mostly Motorsports in a moment. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive.
It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Hey, welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. We've got to remind everybody, it's a big weekend for Knoxville. The World of Outlaws is going to be up there this weekend. And if you're going up there, you need to go over to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. They've got a great track tribute to Ascot Park that was in Gardena, California. They've got a lot of cars up there, several cars up there, a Pernelli Jones car, Dean Thompson car, Bruce Brahmi's car, Jimmy Oski's car. It's up there as well. Go up there and check it out. They've got all kinds of T-shirts and stuff that you can buy in the memory of Ascot Park. Like I've told you, I used to go there back in the early 80s. It was a great venue. It's such a historic track that you need to learn more about it, and the only way you're going to learn about it now is going up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Check out everything that's on display up there. It is just a great track tribute to Ascot Park. They've got T-shirts and posters, and they've got a lot of things to celebrate the success of Ascot Park, again, that was in Gardena, California. It's going to be going on through October 2nd. So go up there and check it out this weekend if you're going up there for the World of Outlaws. And also, get over there and buy you a Sprint Car raffle ticket. They've got a 2022 Triple X chassis that they're giving away. It's got a 410 motor in it. And if you can't make it up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you can always do it online at SprintCarRaffle.com. That's SprintCarRaffle.com if you want to buy a ticket and try to win this excellent Triple X 410 race car that they have up there as well. They've also got the drawing going on for the 2022 IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette, and they will be giving that away on Saturday, August 13th up at the Knoxville Nationals. It's only one of 1,000 of these Corvettes made. I found one online the other day, folks. It was selling for $150,000. So if you want to enter and try to win this Corvette, you can do so by going to Corvette, the letter C, the number 8, the letter R, contest.com. That's Corvette, C8R, contest.com. Corvette, C8R, contest.com. Get up there and buy you some tickets. Try to win that Corvette. That's the one. When I go up there this weekend, I'm going to go up and watch Austin race tomorrow night. I'm going to be buying me some tickets for that Corvette. I'm going to buy some tickets for the Sprint Car raffle as well. So get up there and check it out. And as you know, you can always buy tickets on the second floor of the Hall of Fame for $80 if you'd like to go up there and hang out in a nice, comfortable area. You can bring your own food in there. You bring your own pop in as well. So it's kind of a cool deal up there on the second floor, one of the best views of the entire racetrack over there on the second floor of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. And when you go up there, make sure you tell Bob Baker, the Racing Boys, talked about it on Mostly Motorsports.
This big weekend up there, too, these Outlaw guys, only time they're there before the Knoxville Nationals.
Right, right.
So they're going to be sorting some things out, and we'll get a preview of what's going to happen in August this weekend.
All right, Frog's checking in with us. Hey, Frog, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, I think you're right, Scott. Here's the deal. If you took $1 million and placed it on top, took the $100,000, how much do the winner make at the Nationals?
$150,000. Put $1 million on top of that and just leave it alone all the way down. Just find $1 million to put for the winner. Second place pays $150,000. It pays $10,000 to start.
Okay. Take the $150,000, hand that to the fair board. Now, they're 150 flush from what they were before.
Mm-hmm.
Now you go out and get 10 corporate sponsors, 100 grand apiece, which is chump change. You plaster their signs all over Knoxville. Hell, you put them on the urinal. And now you got $1 million to work with. You got corporate sponsors running all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And the Forbert's got an extra 150 grand in their pocket.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like how you're thinking, Frog. We need $1 million sprint car race is what it needs to boil down to. And either Knoxville or Eldora's got to do it.
Well, Knoxville would be the place to do it.
Yeah, I think so, too.
You know, if you built it $1 million every year for 10 years, you'd have to have skyboxes.
Oh, no doubt. Well, they've got a few of those up there already.
Sure.
Yeah.
But now that's how I do it.
Yeah. Okay, Frog. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate your call.
Okay, man.
All right,
bye,
buddy. All right. We want to talk a little bit about what's going on out at Lakeside Speedway this weekend. It's the Central Auto Racing Boosters Hall of Fame picnic that's going on, and Dave Tyson's called in on the show to talk about it a little bit. Dave, how you doing?
Hey, doing well, Scott. How are you all?
Oh, you know, me and Kirk just doing what we've been doing for the last 22 years, just arguing with each other.
Well, enjoy it while Kirk's still around.
Yeah. Listen, the day that Kirk leaves is the day that it's going to be a very difficult day,
I'm just
moves.
Offering up a dose of reality, Dave. That's all I'm doing.
Dave, tell us what's going on out at Lakeside this weekend.
Yeah, we have one of our big events of the year, the CARB Hall of Fame and Museum puts on. It's called the Legends Picnic. And basically, it's kind of like an old racers reunion. It's this Sunday, June 12th, 11 a.m. We eat at noon. It is a free event at Lakeside Speedway in the Clyde Ellis Campground area.
Oh, man. Clyde Ellis, one of the best ambassadors to motorsports that Kansas City's ever seen.
Yes, indeed.
Yep.
The CARB Hall of Fame, we will have a circus tent, type tent there, tables and chairs. We've got catering by Christie's Tasty Queen.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah, Bear, Darren Christie, and Lowell Christie will be cooking on the grill there. The famous tenderloins, hamburgers, hot dogs, potato salad, and side dishes. The Hall of Fame provides cookies from like Sam's Club, and Lakeside Speedway's providing the drinks, ice, and coolers.
Mm.
And we suggest everybody bring a lawn chair. While we provide tables and chairs, what you find is people move their lawn chairs around to go talk to each other,
right,
and do bench racing.
Yeah. Well, they have some cars on display out there as well. Don't they normally do that a little bit?
We have done that, but we haven't arranged it for this year.
I see.
If somebody brings their cars out there, hey, we'll put them on display.
Talk about some of the old-timers that will be there tomorrow, Dave. Or I'm on Sunday.
Well, I do know that John and Bobby Lane will be there, Junior Parkinson, Linda Weld, Sam Helmuth. I've talked recently with Tiger Bob Williams, and he is all excited to be out there. We've also had great old drivers like Terry Bivens and Tom Charles in the past. We're certainly going to miss one that we regularly would have, and that's a really good one.
No doubt. Yeah. I just talked to his nephew today. I just was out there at their automotive shop where he works today.
Mike?
Yep. Talked to Mike today, matter of fact. Went out and got an inspection this morning. So I was talking to Mike about the good old days And Mike's a regular listener to the show. We want to give a shout-out to Buddy Automotive. They do a great job out there in Independence. They always take good care of the racing boys whenever we take something out there. So I want to thank Mike and Buddy Benedict for always taking good care of us when we show up out there.
Count me in on this deal.
They're one of our supporters for the Hall of Fame banquet every year.
Yeah, for sure.
Count me in on this, Dave. It starts at 11 o'clock Sunday, right?
Yeah.
11 a.m., and we will be eating at noon. Last year, we wrapped up about 2:30 before it got too hot.
Yeah.
And it was just a perfect day, and this giant tent we'll have there, we rent that out, and the company comes out and installs it, and we have tables and chairs. And last year, the weather was just absolutely perfect.
Yeah. What's the weather supposed to be on Sunday? Do we know?
Well, they're talking about a heating index getting pretty high later in the day, so we're hoping, it'll be comfortable, 11 to 1 in that area. And then people kind of stand around and sit around and tell stories and talk. I mean, we've had people come from Oklahoma, Nebraska, Iowa. And we had a couple of brothers come from Topeka last year, racing photographers. And they brought their albums. And people really enjoyed going through old photos from the all the the Topeka tracks out there.
Yeah. Well, it's always a great time when everybody shows up out there. It's a great bench racing session. And you know what? You're always a little bit better now than you were back in the day.
That is true.
Yeah, for sure. Dave, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. And we'll see you out there on Sunday, all right?
Okay, sounds good. Thank you, guys.
All right, you bet.
And you're going to Knoxville, right?
Yeah, but that's the plans. I mean, if I can, here's the issue. I was going to take the motorhome up there, and I found out today I need to get the generator serviced on that thing, and they can't do it until Monday. So I don't know if I want to take the motorhome up there this weekend or not.
Yeah.
Maybe I might just drive up there and just drive home.
We got the truck race next Saturday.
Yeah, so I just might go up there next Saturday. Yeah.
There you go. You're going to the truck race, I think.
Yeah, I would love to go up there for that.
Yeah. Hey, one thing we need to mention. No racing at Lake Ozark Speedway tonight. They called it off. Saturday is still on.
Why did they call it off?
Rain? Well,
all right, Austin. Just call it out. Say what you want.
They said because of rain.
They said.
It did not rain one drop down there from who the people I've talked to and seen.
You so think why did they call it off?
You think it's the lack of 410s?
No, I just think, I don't know, they jumped the gun a little too easy down there.
You think they call it too quick?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's not supposed to rain today?
I don't believe so.
Maybe they don't have any tires. Could be. Never know.
But tomorrow night is still on.
But they did put up an extra 5,000 bonus for the 410s, too, I believe
right.
It was.
Tammy wanted me to make sure that everybody knew that Central PA standouts Anthony Macri and Brett Marks are going to be racing it with the Outlaws this weekend at Knoxville.
How about that?
Yeah, that'd be good.
That's a great addition to the field.
Ethan said $1 million payday would have to be a standalone race, not add to an already prestigious race unless you pay the $1 million every year. Now, hold on. I don't agree with that, Ethan. And the reason I say that, he said also, can't be a one-time deal for a race like the Nationals.
Yeah.
They've only had 2 million-dollar late model races. It's been 20 years since they've had the last
one. Those million-dollar races at Eldora have not been the late model dream.
Kirk.
That's the difference.
It's been
standalone events.
It's been 20 years since they've had the last race that paid $1 million.
But the point is,
why can't you do it every 20 years?
The point is, the Eldora Million.
About every 15 years, 10 years.
The point he was trying to make is that's not the Knoxville Nationals. Wouldn't be the Knoxville Nationals. Would be a standalone event like they do at Eldora for the late model events. The Eldora Million are standalone races. They're not part of the late model dream.
All right.
They're not the late model.
Get in here.
I know it's a while away, ways away. I'll be old at this point, but pay $1 million for the 100th Knoxville Nationals.
What number are we on now?
We're in the 60s.
60. It'd be after I'm dead and gone.
Oh, no. I don't want to wait that long. I want to see it pay $1 million while I'm alive. I don't want to be dead.
The year 2061 or 2060 would be the 100th anniversary of the Knoxville Nationals.
Austin, you couldn't even run that.
I'd be 57 years old.
You'll be around by then.
I'd be a dinosaur.
You're going to look awful.
Oh, I know.
You're going to look a little older.
Hey, one other thing. There's big weekend at Belleville, the High Banks, tonight and tomorrow night, USMTS Modifieds, and then on Monday and Tuesday, the XR Late Models Super Series going to be running Monday and Tuesday night this weekend at Belleville.
Are the All-Stars racing tonight? I think they are, aren't they? All-Star Circuit of Champions at Attica Raceway Park.
I thought they were at Attica last weekend.
Is today the 10th?
Yeah.
Today's the 10th.
Okay. Yeah. I don't have the schedule pulled up.
I got it right here in front of me. And USAC Indiana Midget Week at Gas City at I-69 Speedway tonight as well. That'd be pretty good. What are you going to watch tonight, Austin?
Probably the Dream.
Yeah.
Probably where I'll end up.
I'll probably take that back.
I'll probably watch the Outlaw Race at Knoxville. Hey, I got to get notes in for tomorrow.
Right, that's true, right?
You mentioned the All-Stars. This is the beginning of Ohio Sprint Week.
Right.
Tonight. So, as you pointed out, Attica, and they were there a week ago. They're there again. So, Fremont, the following two nights, Saturday and Sunday, Wayne County Speedway on Monday, and then they're at Sharon Speedway, Atomic, Waynesfield, and Lima Land to close it out.
Did you know that Dirt Vision was going to be covering that race down at Lake Ozark Speedway?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the Extreme Outlaw Sprint Cars.
Right. And Williams Grove is on tonight, and Jacksonville Speedway is going to be on tonight as well on Dirt Vision.
A lot of racing this weekend, man. Yeah. This is a big weekend of racing.
You know.
Huge weekend.
God, I hate to say this, but I get so used to sitting in here watching these TVs. It's really hard to talk yourself into going someplace sometimes when you can watch everything.
This weekend, it makes it really hard with so many big events that are going on at the same time.
I know it.
But to me, it's still better being there if you can.
Oh, no doubt. It's much better to be there than not. I just don't know what the plans are. I know I want to watch Austin race this weekend. So I might just drive home tomorrow night if I go up there.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about that midget race at Lincoln Park Speedway, Putnamville last night.
Yeah.
With Jacob Denny taking the lead from Jerry Coons Jr. Looked like Coons was going to win that race about 10 laps to go.
He led almost the whole race.
Denny was able to get around him, and Jacob Denny winning a big race last night.
You know who a fast qualifier was last night, Kurt?
Jade Avedisian.
Isn't that great?
Hold on. Even better than her going quick time.
Kaylee Bryson was second, wasn't she?
The top four was all females for the first time in USAC history.
Oh, that's true.
In qualifying.
I just noticed that. Did you see that, Kurt?
Yeah. How about that?
How about that? That's the first time that's ever happened.
Yep.
The women are starting to come on a little bit.
Kaylee Bryson had another pretty decent finish last night, right?
She ended up running...
Eighth? Or no, she was tenth. She ended up 10th.
Yeah, yeah.
She was running as high as 7th there, 5th or 6th at one time.
Yeah.
But Buddy Kofoid, who started 10th, got around her. He finished in 9th place. Justin Grant was 8th. Kyle Cummins, 7th. And then Brady Bacon made the biggest move up through the field, 14th to 5th.
Right.
Or 6th, I'm sorry.
A little disappointed in Buddy's performance last night. Started 10th, run 9th.
Yeah.
It's not standard Buddy Kofoid quality there.
And Bacon was 5th.
Yeah, Brady started 14th and ended up running 6th last night.
And Zach Dom got around Jerry Coons Jr. for the second place.
Brady was 6th last night. Yeah, 6th. All right, folks. Well, thanks for tuning in to the show. We hope you enjoyed it. We do it every day, Monday through Friday, right here from the Racing Boys studio. Austin and myself, Monday through Thursday. Kirk sits in with us on Friday. We appreciate y'all's hanging out with us and just being a part of the show. Unfortunately, the people that want to go down to Lake Ozark Speedway, now you can go up to Knoxville and watch the World of Outlaws.
Well, they're racing tomorrow. at the lake.
Yeah, they are racing tonight. On Saturday.
Oh, they just canceled tonight.
Yeah.
Right. Tomorrow they're still going to run.
Yeah, I want to make clear of that. And tomorrow night's still on.
And they added 5,000 to the 410s and the non-wing cars, too. To make up for that.
Eric says, nothing like being at the races. If you can, so many great streaming services. I know it, man. Yeah. It's tough. It's tough when you got all these big TVs in here and watch all these races. So, all right, thanks again, everybody, for tuning into the show. I want to thank Austin for doing such a great job each and every day for us here on Mostly Motorsports. Kirk, thanks for sitting in with us today,
hey,
too, buddy.
Been fun.
Appreciate it. All right, well, that's it. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, we are on at 8 o'clock Central Time. You can watch the show. It's a show that Kirk and I have been doing for the last 22 years together. It's on Sports Radio 810 WHB, but you can watch it here on Facebook. You can watch it on Twitter. You can watch it on YouTube or RacingBoys.com. It's a show. It's 2 hours long, and we've been doing it forever together, and it's just what we've been doing. So we hope that you'll join us tomorrow. It's called Track Talk, and it's Track Talk with the Racing Boys. For Austin O'Neill, for Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock Central Time.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.